How's everybody doing? You glad to be here?
Yes.
All right. If you're glad to be here, look at the person next to you and say, I'm happy to be in the house of God. Now, look at the person on the other side and say, notify your face. Notify your face. Man, it's a great day to be in the house of the Lord. And it's a great honor to anytime I get to come before y'all and share the word. You know, I count it as an honor every time. You know, it's not one of those, redundant, complacent things, you know, where you get used to it. Be like, oh, I got to do this again. No, it's a joy to bring the word of the Lord. And, you know, we've been talking about and kind of doing a series about the looking forward into the year 2020. Amen. About having a what? Having a vision for our year going forward. Because here's the deal. Your past is written. You can't change yesterday. But 2020 is a blank page set before you. Okay? It's up to you what you write on there. And that's our vision. That's what we've been talking about. Because in Proverbs 29, we've been, every service we've been using this, but Proverbs 29:18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Okay? When you don't have a vision, when you don't have a direction for your future, you're gonna perish. You're not gonna die, but you're gonna be what? You're gonna be stuck in a rut. It's gonna be the same thing day after day, same. And you string a couple days together like that, it's gonna turn into months. You string a couple months together, it turns into years and years of having the same things over and over, the same experiences, the same heartaches, the same ups and the same downs. Without vision, the people perish. So what do we got to do? Habakkuk 2:2 says, the Lord told me, write the vision. Write it down. Write your vision. Write down the vision. Make it plain upon tablets. Make it plain. Write it in English. Just make it plain. So what the purpose is, so that he that seeth, or he that may run that readeth. What that means is when you see your vision written down, it gives you your marching orders for every day. When you see that vision, you can say, this is my goal. This is where I'm headed, so you don't get off track, right? So last week, well, because the deal is, if you don't have a vision for your future, you will return to your past. And we want to avoid that. Okay? So last week, what did we talk about? We talked about a vision for the church. What we want our church to look like in 2020. Will you throw that up there? See, the vision for our church, for Parish Christian Center, is to be a what? A growing community of believers. A growing community of believers that does what? They're being equipped to be a light into a dark world. See, that's the vision for the church. Now, we take that one step further. And what is the vision for our family? For your family? What is the vision for your family? What do you want to see 2020 in your family? What do you want to see occur? What do you want your life to look like at the end of 2020? Do you want to have a different job? Do you want to have a man if you ain't got one? Looking at a couple ladies. Looking for a man. Do you want a new home? Do you want a new vehicle? Do you want kids that are saved? What do you want the end of 2020 to look like? Because see, that's what we're talking about today. Because the very first thing, in Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom. So do the kingdom first, and then what will happen? All of these things will be added unto you. All of these things will be added unto you. All these things that you're looking for, that you're wanting to happen. What is the vision? What do you want to see? Write it down. Write it down. What is that vision that you want to see? And here's the deal. I want us all to dream big, to think about a dream that only God can accomplish. Because if the vision that you have, you can do by yourself, that's not of God. Get that. If the vision that you have for 2020, you can do all on your own, that is not of God. God says, dream big. Ask me for the big things. So many times we ask for little bitty things from God. And he's got a whole other set of blessings sitting back here just waiting to give to you. But we focus on the little things. But God wants us to what? To dream big. Don't be limited by your natural eye. Don't be limited by what you can do. Because you can do what? All things through Christ. I can do all things. So if I have a huge vision that I can't accomplish by myself, that's God. And when it happens, you can point straight to it and say, this is where the Lord showed up. This is where God showed up in my life. This is where things changed because I dared to dream bigger than my small dreams. So get that. See, you know, I said 2019's over. It's done. It's in the books. The ink's dry. We've got a blank page for 2020. And I want to let you know that as we're looking forward to 2020, that your choices that you make have echoes throughout eternity. Okay? The choices, as you begin to go towards that vision, every choice and every decision that you make echoes throughout eternity. It doesn't just affect you right there in that moment. Choices that we make affect those around us. They affect our kids, our families. See, so many times when we're looking at our family, we begin to look at all the negative stuff in our families. There's a thing, and Brother Larry, he touched on it a little bit this morning in the Celebrate Recovery meeting. He was talking about a thing called generational curses. Okay? What that is, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, it says this. God's talking to the people, and he says, you must not bow down to idols and worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affections toward other gods. I lay the sin of the parents upon the children, and the entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generation of those who reject me. Now, here's what this is saying. Okay, I want you to listen. He's saying, I will put the sin of the parent on the children. Now, it doesn't literally mean if daddy screws up, that the sin is automatically on the kid. What it's saying is the consequences flow down. The consequences flow down. See, what we do, so many times you can look back in a family and see, my grandmama was nervous. My mama was nervous all the time. I'm nervous. I can't get up in front of people because of that legacy of what happened. See, in my own family, just going to lay it out there. I don't really talk about it because it's painful. But I have an uncle. He's got a problem with some alcohol. He's had it his entire life. But he didn't go about it the right way. He didn't try to fix it. So I look at his life. His life is all jacked up, right? The sins that he did then has consequences on his kids. What happens? My cousins, they're jacked up worse than he is. See, when we're trying to face, we're looking at our family, many of us face those things that are coming down from generation to generation. The consequences of what somebody did hurts us now. See, just because your daddy had a drug problem or your granddaddy had an alcohol problem, doesn't mean you have to have one. See, that's the first part of having that vision, is to get over all that junk. Okay? Because we can use that as a crutch so many times. I can't because of this. And God says, you can because of me. Get that. Stop saying I can't because of. Say I can because of God. Because see, the consequences are passed down. It's obvious patterns of sin, sinful habits and beliefs that negatively impact us. But see, our everyday decisions, not our intentions, lead to growth. I want you to write that down. Our everyday decisions, not our intentions, lead to the vision, lead to growth. Okay? There's an old saying out there that says, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Okay? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. I intend to do a lot of things. I've intended for years to make a little bit less of Jeremy in the world. Okay? I've intended for the last 4 weeks to clean my office at home. See, intentions are great. I intend to read the Bible more. I intend to worship God more. I intend to spend more time in His presence. But if it always stops at intention, what do you got? You got nothing. You're right in the same place that you started from. See, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So how do we overcome all this? How do we overcome old sins, old habits, things that other people have done that affect us? How do we overcome those intentions? You stop talking and you start walking. Stop talking. Stop saying, I'm going to do this, and get your big boy britches on and do it. And do it. That's what our vision for 2020 is. In your family, if there's something, if there's a vision that God has for you, this big vision, stop talking about, oh, I'm going to do this to try to get there. Just do it. Walk in that. Now, I want to look at Abraham. Kind of jumped around a little bit. Okay, over in Genesis chapter 12. Okay, we're going to look at Abram. This is Abraham. Later, God's going to change his name. But currently, when we pick up with him, he's living in a town called Ur. U-R. It's far away from the land of Canaan. Okay, far away from the promised land. But Abraham, he's from a city called Ur of the Chaldeans. We pick this up in Genesis 12:1, and it said, the Lord said to Abram, the Lord told him, this is your vision. This is what I have for you. He says, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to a land I will show you. So God's saying, go. I have this vision. I have this blessing for you over here. Get up and go. Now, with every vision, with every command of God, there's a blessing. So God continues in verse 2, and he says, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those that bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. So God's telling him, I want you to pick up. I want you to move to this other land. And when you do, when you follow me, when you follow that vision, I'm going to bless you. There's blessing in that land. He wanted him to move from Ur to Canaan, the land of blessing. Okay? He wanted him to get up, to go. Now, if Abram is anything like me, and God tells you, get up and go. Have you ever argued with him? Have you ever argued with God? Nah, that ain't you. Is that Jesus? Nah, that ain't you. Or I am comfortable in my seat. I am comfortable in what I'm doing. See, here's the deal. Comfort. You have to get out of your comfort zone to get that vision. You got to step out because comfort does not equal growth. Comfort does not equal blessing. Because so many times, I love being comfortable. I love my chair at home. I got this brown recliner, and it's got the perfect angle towards the TV. And I can turn on that Netflix. I can watch The Office, my favorite show in the entire world. Well, top five, definitely one of my favorite shows. But I can turn that, and I can put my glass of, used to be soda, now it's water, right there on the table next to me. I can get real comfortable. I get real watching my show, watching my stories. And what happens when you get comfortable? Fall asleep like an old man. Happens every day. Fall asleep in the chair like an old man. See, comfort leads you to falling asleep, leads you to missing it. Because when I fall asleep, I miss my show. I miss my stories. See, even though I've seen them 1,000 times and I can quote 3/4 of it, I miss it. I miss a piece of it because I got comfortable. Because comfort puts you to sleep. Comfort does not equal growth. See, to get up, to get out, to get those visions, sometimes you got to get uncomfortable. Sometimes God will tell you to do something you don't want to do. Like there's some things, I'll be straight with you. When God said, hey, Jeremy, you're going to pastor this church over here, you and your wife. Nah, that ain't you, Jesus. Nah, that ain't you. And he said it again. I said, nah, I'm comfortable right here. I don't want to do all that. Get up in front of these people all the time, trying to lead these people towards you. Can I just sit here? No, Jeremy, you can't do that. See, you got to get out. You got to get out. When God says, go, well, what do you do? Verse 4, Genesis 12:4. What does it say? So Abraham did what? Abraham departed. He put his big boy britches on. And he said, let's go, honey. He packed his bags and said, let's go. See, that's the deal. That's the only proper response when you're going toward that vision is stop talking, start walking, get up and go. Stop talking, start walking. Because Ur was a long way from Canaan. And here's the deal. So Abraham, he departed as the Lord had instructed. And Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he left Haran. Abraham was 75 years old when God told him to get up and go. That's an old man. But here's something we need to look at, though. He says, Abraham departed as the Lord had instructed. He was 75 years old when he left Haran. Wait, Abraham is from a town called Ur. But it says here that he left from a town called Haran. Now, why did he leave from a different town? Look over in Genesis 11, 31. One chapter back. It says, one day, Terah took his son Abraham, his daughter-in-law Sarah, his son Abraham's wife, and his grandson Lot, his son Haran's child, and moved away from Ur of the Chaldeans. He was headed for the land of Canaan, but they stopped at Haran and settled there. Okay. God called Abraham to pick up and move. And when they begin to move, they begin to go, right? And as it says in that verse, he was headed for the land of Canaan. He was headed for the promised land. He was listening to God, okay? But they stopped at Haran. Haran is exactly halfway to Canaan. I looked it up on the map in the back of my Bible. So they started going towards that vision, towards the commanding of God, and they stopped halfway. And what did? They didn't stop and rest. They stopped and settled. Get that? They stopped and they settled. They settled for something less than what God had had before them. They settled for something less. How many times in our lives do we settle for something less? Oh, he's a good man, but he can't got no job. Oh, but he cute though. Nope. Get rid of him. Get rid of him. See, you can settle for second best. You can. When I wanted my new car, my car that I actually had for a couple of years now, about two, I knew what I wanted. God said, yes, you can get this car. Got my little hybrid, getting my 55 miles to the gallon. See, that was the vision. There's another car that was a little cheaper. That would have worked just as good, but it wasn't what God had for me. See, many times we can talk ourselves into settling, or people can talk ourselves into settling, you know? Because many times, you know, you start at the bottom and you're at the middle and people are like, oh, you're doing so great. Stay there. You're awesome. But you're only at the middle, baby. If you started at the bottom, we want to be up here. We started at the bottom, now we're here. See, that's the thing. So many times we can get content with a little bit less than what God wants. And it's a great thing. It's an awesome thing. But there's more. It's saying, I want to keep going on to what you have. I don't want to stop halfway through. You see, that's what they did. They settled. See, when God's voice is talking to you and telling you to do something, don't let anybody else persuade you otherwise. Don't let someone else tell you, you're good enough is right here, when God says, you're even better is over here. That's the challenge. To keep moving. Don't settle halfway through. Don't settle. Because your faith in God, your decisions affect everyone around you. See, my faith that I have in God, if I have this big vision and I begin to walk in that vision, that begins to show off on my kids. See, in 2 Timothy 1 and 5, there's a spiritual heritage. Paul was talking to Timothy, and he says, clearly recalling your sincere faith, your faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois, and then in your mother Eunice, and now I'm convinced is in you also. See, when my kids, just like Timothy had that legacy of God, because his grandmama loved God, his mama loved God, he loves God. See, when I'm walking in the things of God and I don't settle for second best, I'm teaching my kids to have faith. I'm teaching the next generation to have faith. Because when they can see back, I can see back in my own life. My grandfather was a pastor. His daddy was a deacon. I can see the legacy of God, and I want to continue that on in my own family. That's part of the vision of my family, to continue that. And sometimes in your family, it's got to start somewhere. If you don't have that legacy, be the first. Be the first. Be a Lois. Be the first. Start it. Decide today it's going to start. Now, it's a lot to throw at you, huh? How do we get there? How do we continue in the things of God? You got to make room for the vision. Make room for the vision. Get that. How do you make room for your vision? You got to clean your house, stupid. Just saying. You got to clean your house. Clean the junk out of your house. Literally and figuratively. Clean the junk. Just like for the last, several weeks, I've been intending to clean my office. Anybody that's been over to the house, unfortunately, the place I work, my office, is the catch-all for the house. Whenever Kelly's trying to clean up something, oh, somebody's coming over, we got to move stuff around, it all gets thrown in my office. It begins to clutter up. See? So many times in our own lives, life brings clutter. Life brings stuff. Life comes at you fast. And just like I got to clean my office, clean my physical house, I got to clean my spiritual house too. I got to throw some elbow grease in there. I got to stop saying I'm gonna and start doing. See, life happens. We get busy. We fill up our lives with stuff to do. You know, you get a couple of kids and one's running this way with karate, one's running this way with T-ball, and you're running around and you don't know where things are. See, you can fill your life with stuff. You can fill your life with, and some of it's not bad, like work. You can fill your entire life with work. While work is good, what else is there? If all of your time is that. See? So what happens when your life begins to get cluttered? God begins to get pushed back to the background. You see, God doesn't want to be in the background. He wants to be number one. Because what does it say in Matthew 6:33? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek God first. But so many times we get so busy and busy running around, we forget to pray. We forget to read our Bible. We say, oh, I'll catch up tomorrow. I intend to fix it tomorrow. I intend to. Ooh, what do we say about intentions? How do we fix it? Here's the challenge. It's a 21-day challenge. I've seen a couple of my pastor friends doing this, some guys that I grew up with in their churches. They begin to do a 21-day challenge. It's a 21-day fast of something. Now, hold on. Most people, when I say the word fast, what do you think of? Food. No food. I'm not saying that. Okay? I don't want somebody to stop eating and then fall out, then it'd be my fault. Okay? That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is give up something and replace it with God for the next 21 days. Give up something. And give up something that'll hurt. It's like saying, give up something that'll really be meaningful to you. Give up your Netflix if you watch a lot of Netflix. I ain't preaching at nobody. But don't give up something that'll impact you. It's don't cop out and be like, I'm going to give up sugar, but I'm a diabetic, so it doesn't matter. Or if you're vegan, don't say, I'm going to give up meat for the next 21 days. That don't hurt you. You ain't doing it anyway. All right? Or if your thing is brownies, give up brownies. Give up something that causes discomfort. Because what does comfort do? It breeds complacency. Keeps you from growing. See, the challenge is to give up something for the next 21 days and replace some of that time with God. Replace it with His Word. And, you know, switch it up. If you want to do one thing one week, one thing another week, I don't care. Just spend time with God. I don't care how you do it. Just do it. All right? But that's what I want to challenge you. If you get a big vision, spend the next 21 days with God to have Him reveal it to you. Because as you begin to put God more in the forefront, you push Him out front, and you seek him first, what does it say? All of these things will be added unto you. All of those things. All those things that you're wanting, that vision that you want God to do, all of those things will be added when you seek God first. So give up to Netflix. Oh, man. See, that's the vision. We've got a vision for our church and a vision for our family. We begin to put them together. We make a stronger church and a stronger family. Amen. And we have a strong church and a strong family. We have a stronger community. Amen. We have a light that pierces the darkness. And that's the goal. Because we look around and there's empty seats. I want them all filled. Not to glorify me, but to glorify God. I want them filled because I drive through this town and you can see there's sinners as far as the eye can see. The harvest is great. The harvest is great. Workers are few. That's what I want to challenge us with. Spend those days getting closer to God. Push God to the forefront of your life. Now, let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for each and every person that's here. Lord, I ask that you would draw each and every one of us closer to you. Help us to take this challenge and go forth and do just as Abram did. Help us to get out of our comfort zones. Help us to stop being comfortable and start getting real with you. Help draw our hearts to the things of you, God, and let nothing else satisfy us along the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.